as we think about this passage together. Father, we thank you that you speak to us in the Bible. Please help us to understand and to hear and to believe and to be transformed by what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today we are giving thanks. It's been lovely to have Lee and Michaela and Oscar with us to give thanks for his life. And I want to spend a bit of time thinking about Thanksgiving. Do you remember being... I wonder if you're good at writing thank you letters. Are you good at writing thank you letters? I remember being, when I was young, when I was a child, I remember being forced to write thank you letters on pain of death. And I used to do it so grudgingly when my uncles and aunts and people had given me presents for Christmas or something. I used to do it so grudgingly, as if it was a terrible chore. And my letter would go something like this: "Dear Auntie and Uncle, thank you for my Batman sticker book. I have done all the stickers. It was fun. From Jeremy." I was called Jeremy as I grew up, and I've only become Jez since, but there we go. I mean, what a horrible child. What a horrible child. The thing is, my parents wanted me to learn that it is really important to recognise when someone has given a gift to me. Someone has paid good money. They've paid a cost to give me something that will bring me pleasure. I don't deserve it. I've not earned it. It's a gift from them as an expression of love. And so gratitude and thanksgiving, and at least writing a decent thank you letter, is the right response, isn't it? The Bible says, it says in several places, one place it says this, in Psalm 136, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord." And if we're Christians, that is our response to God, to give thanks to him. But if I say to you this morning, "Be thankful to God," I wonder how you feel. Do you perhaps feel a bit like I did when I was being made to write thank you letters? I wonder. So instead of guilting you into feeling thankful, into being thankful to God, I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about how great is the gift that God has given to us, how much it costs, and how little we deserve it. And we're going to think about that by looking at this true story from the Bible that Hannah just read to us so well. And the first thing I want you to see from this passage is, you are very sick. You are very sick. And so am I. At the beginning of that Bible story, we meet 10 men, and they've got leprosy. And just put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Put yourself in their shoes. Imagine what it would be like. You've got this terrible skin condition that disfigures you. It causes your hands and your feet, especially the ends of your limbs, to lose feeling. And so it's very easy for you to put your hand in a fire or for it to get injured and then become infected and you don't even realise it. You are unclean. You're declared unclean. You're cast right out of the community that you are part of and kept away from everyone. Do you remember seeing pictures of people, ringing a bell, or seeing videos ringing a bell to say, "I'm a leper, I'm unclean, no one can come near"? Now, we've found out, haven't we, what it's like to be isolated over the last 18 months. Some of us more than others. But imagine what it would be like for these 10 people. That isolation and loneliness that we've known, but much worse. Plus poverty. Plus exclusion from the community. Plus chronic illness stretching out until eventually you die. That's what these 10 men are living through. It's really, really horrible. But the thing about this is, it's actually a picture for us of what every single human being is like. you and me. You are made by God. You are loved by God and precious in His sight. You are made to live in communion with Him and with each other, with everyone else and with the world. But you know it's not like that, don't you? You know it's not. We've all got this disease. We've had it since we were born. The Bible, as Louis was saying earlier, the Bible calls it sin. And it's a condition of the heart where our hearts reject and hate the God who made us. And just like leprosy, it has symptoms of selfishness, self-centeredness, greediness, pride, dishonesty, cruelty, and many others. These are the symptoms of sin. And just like leprosy, sin cuts us off. Cuts us off from each other. So we don't fully know anyone. It cuts us off from God. There is no cure in the world. There's no medicine, no religious habit, no amount of good deeds that you can do to outweigh the sin. And it's terminal, just like leprosy. It ends in death, cut off from God, cut off from life. Cut off from all that is good. It is horrible to hear, isn't it? And the sad thing is that just like every other human being, you are infected. Just like me. And I don't mean to be morbid and go on a downer on a day of Thanksgiving, but it's important to know where we are, to know what we face, where we find ourselves. Because then we're ready for the good news. The 10 people with leprosy, they knew they were sick. They knew they needed help. And they saw the one person in the whole world who could help them. They saw Jesus. And Jesus comes along. And look at verse 12. If you've got your News in the Pews to hand, grab it. And look at verse 12, little number 12 on your News in the Pews. This is what they do. They see Jesus and they say, they stood at a distance, they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, I don't know what they were expecting. Maybe a bit of money, maybe some help, I don't know. But Jesus just says to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they do. And they're all better. Just like that. They're cleansed. Their leprosy is gone. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that just the amazing joy of re-entering the community after so many years of isolation? Can you imagine being able to talk to their friends and eat together again? Can you imagine them going out to work at their jobs, to make a living, to support themselves, to feed their family? Can you imagine them going home to their wives and their children for the first time in years? And just giving them a hug. Can you imagine the joy that they must have felt? All because Jesus made them better. That is amazing power. It is amazing kindness from Jesus the first time he meets them. He'd never met them before and he healed them and cleansed them from their leprosy and gave them a new lease of life. It's wonderful. But we heard it, didn't we? Read on. There's a strange thing that happens. Verse 15, have a look down again. "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan." Isn't that remarkable? Out of 10 people who had been healed from a terrible disease, in an instant, only one came back to say thank you. Only one came back with thanks in his heart to God. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And don't you think that's a strange thing for Jesus to say to this man who he's just healed with the other 9? He's already healed the 10 altogether from their leprosy. And this man who comes back and gives thanks, he says, "Your faith has made you well." Wasn't he already well? Jesus isn't talking about leprosy anymore. Now he's talking about sin. Jesus can heal anyone from their sin sickness. Jesus can do what no one else can do. Jesus can take a heart that hates God and transform it into one that loves God. Jesus can give us full, complete forgiveness for every wrong thing that we have ever done. Jesus can release us from the guilt and the power and the penalty of sin in our lives. And Jesus, one day, he will transform our mortal bodies that must die into perfect, ever-living new ones to be with him forever. That is what Jesus did for that man on that day 2,000 years ago. And that is what Jesus can do for you. But only if you come to him. Nine out of ten men took the gift of healing from Jesus and left to enjoy their new lease of life. One man came back to Jesus with thanks. Because he could see that the giver is a million times better than the gift. And only he received what Jesus really gives. Because what Jesus really offers is a relationship with God, restored as it should be. When I was a child, I thought that thank you letters were all about the gift. So if someone gave me a rubbish gift, I thought, I do not want to write a thank you letter to them. I would be grumpy and difficult about it. But I got it completely wrong at the time. What matters is not the quality of the gift, but the person giving the gift. My uncles and aunts wanted to give me something that would give me pleasure, because they wanted to love me and have a good relationship with me. And gratitude is really about accepting the gift and loving that person in response. And that is true with Jesus too. He gives us good gifts. The gift of a child, as we're celebrating today. The gift of food to eat, a roof over our head, a job to do, health, relationships, money, and we can so easily take these good gifts and just take them for granted and enjoy them as if they belong to us, as if they're ours by right. And we miss out the purpose of the gift, which is to draw us to God, who is greater and more wonderful than any gift itself. The greatest gift ever was that Jesus gave his very life on the cross as he died to give you and me healing from sin. It cost him everything, and he did it because he loved you and he loved me. If you receive this gift, you're drawn into a restored relationship with God who made you. So as we finish, if you are following Jesus, you have this. This is what you have. So let your life be marked by thankfulness and love for God. This is your Saviour. Perhaps today this is new to you though. Perhaps you've never heard this before. Well, can I urge you to come to the only one who can make you well? You can pray to him, you can ask him into your life to be your Saviour and your Lord, and he will be, and it will change your life. I promise you. I'm going to pray now and lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving. So will you join me and say amen at the end? Dear Father, we thank you for your amazing gift to us of your Son, Jesus. Thank you that he gave his life for us as he died on the cross. Thank you that he gives us healing from sin, forgiveness, new life, and a restored relationship with you. Help us to come to him and receive that gift, and help us to be thankful people who respond with love and gratitude each day for the rest of our lives. And help us to look forward to being with you forever in your new creation, perfect and renewed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.